What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
What's up, Boston?
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
Paul has a pot-bellied pig. His name is Hammy.
And they're going to eat it someday.
They're never going to eat it. It's a family member, like your dog.
But it's a pig. Bacon.
No, E, they're never going to eat it.
Ham.
It's been in the family for...
But his name is Hammy. Pork chops.
You gotta name it something.
I gotta eat it.
Eat the pig. He sits on the couch. When Paul watches sports, the pig sits on the couch with him.
And does he look at it and say, I'm gonna eat you someday?
He never says that.
Does Paul, like, sit it there and, like, eat bacon?
Oh, yeah, they have, like, a regular dinner where they eat pork chops and stuff
well,
in front
rude.
Of the pig.
It's just rude.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
B&E on the Horn on a Wednesday, rolling on. Get your headlines coming up. Also, Sports Illustrated has ranked the 40 freakiest college football players. We'll get you the definition of that and which Longhorns made it, if any. And who are the top freaks in college football as we get count them down to the college football season. SEC Media Days continues today with the Aggies. Kevin Sumlin and company on full display at Hoover, Alabama. Nick Saban will be there as well. So we'll talk plenty of college football. Also talk about last night's All-Star game. And someone mentioned on the Specs text line, asked a question, does George Springer have a speech impediment? Because he was mic'd up last night. And yes, he does. George Springer has been a lifelong stutterer,
mm-hmm.
and he's dealt with it. And he actually said last night that he was quoted saying, I can spread a message to kids and adults, and if I'm not willing to put myself out there, I understand. I'm going to stutter. I don't care. It is what it is. I'm not going to let it stop me from talking or having fun.
He had fun last night.
Which is to what, the internet lit up with that for George Springer's overcome a lifelong stutter to wear a live mic on national TV.
I know.
The All-Star game is brave and inspiring. Good for George. Yeah, he's dealt with that. And he actually, in the city of Houston, goes out and speaks to a lot of kid groups that deal with that. And because that can be a very embarrassing
of course,
for young people that they shut down because they have that impediment. And
feels like it knocks down your self-esteem for sure.
Sure. And so good for George Springer to do that. And
I wish Joe Buck would have asked him more than three questions. He was done with him after like one out in the inning. He talked to Bryce Harper for 15 minutes. I wanted to hear more from Springer.
Yeah,
wasn't there like a ball that went out to him or something like that? It seemed like he did it right during the middle of the interview.
Yeah.
The ball goes out to him.
I mean, Astro fans are used to that. There's not going to be much national love. They're the best team. But they didn't talk a lot about the Dodgers either. I mean, the Dodgers had as many All-Stars almost. But it was an Aaron's Judge. I mean, I watched the whole pregame. And I watched a lot on MLB Network.
A lot about pitching.
Well, it was the lead up was all Aaron Judge all the time. I mean, get used to that.
Well, it should be. He's a Yankee.
I know. It's nauseating. It's going to be all Aaron Judge all the time. But he is a neat guy. And he is a unique individual who I think is going to be a star in the league, if he's not already. But you maybe could have mentioned the Astros and Dodgers a little bit, but. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. I just thought those interviews were cool because he talked to Bryce Harper for half an inning.
Yeah.
Him and Bryce were going back and forth like they were best friends. And then they lasted all three outs of the inning. Bryce was even talking to Joe when he was running off the field. When he was talking to George Springer, he made it like through one out, through four pitches, and then he was done asking him questions.
I thought, see you later. Yeah. Well, and it's pretty clear to me watching the coverage of the All-Star Week down there in Miami, that baseball and Rob Manfred, the new commissioner, has got a directive. We need to get our stars out there.
For sure.
We need, and Bryce Harper's a star. I mean, he is a star. He's one of the faces of the game.
He loves his hair.
He does love his hair. He's got some nice locks, there's no doubt. He's a star player. I mean, he's extroverted, which you want. You want your.
Oh, he is, because he can talk up a storm. He's kind of ditzy, but he can go.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's polarizing at a lot of levels.
He's a baseball player.
But he brings energy. He brings an edge to him, which is good. Young kids like him a lot. And, oppose that with Mike Trout. Mike Trout's the best player in the game, but Mike Trout is so quiet.
He doesn't say a thing.
He doesn't really put himself out there much. Obviously, he's injured, so he didn't get to play last night. But, we talked to you about Mike Trout being in his, sixth All-Star game by the time he's 25 years old. Same for Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is, five All-Star games, and he's 24?
Yep.
I mean, he's a star, and you got to put out there. Aaron Judge is going to be one of the faces. Baseball's done a poor job of marketing their best players and making them stars, like football and basketball have done. I think Rob Manfred and company are trying to do better, taking their best players, exploiting them, putting them out in front of people, and taking advantage of that. But yes, George Springer didn't get a lot of love. nor did most of the Astros. But either way, they didn't do much, and that's the way that goes. And only Chris Devensky took the mound. I mean, Lance McCullers didn't pitch. Dallas Keuchel wasn't going to pitch.
No.
And that's the way that goes. Hey, let's get your headlines, and we'll pick up the freaks of college football, the other top stories of the day. But first, you got to know what's going on. Ticket City Update Desk time. And yes, baseball's All-Star Game. The old adage, baseball and baseball, great pitching beats great hitting. That was on display last night in the 88th All-Star Game. 1-1. The power arms dominated all the way through. 1-1 into the 10th inning. That's when Wade Davis, the Cubs closer, facing Robinson Cano to lead off the 10th.
Hard hit into right, back at the wall. Cano puts the AL on top, 2-1.
They would close it out and win it, 2-1. Junior Circuit's fifth straight victory in the Midsummer Classic. Cano takes home the MVP honors, 34-year-old from the Mariners. And by the way, his home run in the extra innings came exactly 50 years after the previous extra inning All-Star homer. That was 1967. Tony Perez hit a tie-breaking 15th inning shot off of Catfish Hunter in the NL 1-2-1 in Anaheim. By the way, Perez was in the building last night. He's now a Marlins executive. He was among 8 Latin-born Hall of Famers who threw out ceremonial first pitches last night. Those pitches included Pudge Rodriguez, former Ranger great, who will be inducted into the Hall of Fame later this month. Also remember, the American League only takes home pride and bragging rights for that win last night. Major League Baseball no longer awards home field advantage for the World Series based on the outcome of that game. They ended that rule after 14 seasons. And how about this for a remarkable? After 88 All-Star games, the American League has won 43, the National League has won 43. There have been two ties. And the run total, 361 to 361. Amazing. All-Star break continues through Friday. When it does resume the second half, it'll be first place Houston hosting Minnesota. Rangers will be at Kansas City. Round Rock enjoying the AAA break. They're back Thursday in Memphis to open a series there. AAA All-Star game is tonight, and you'll hear it right here on the horn from Tacoma, Washington, right after Chad and Kevin. They get it going at 7 o'clock. Good news for Texas hoops. An NCAA spokesperson yesterday tweeted that there are no eligibility issues surrounding Texas freshman big man Mohamed Bamba. Bamba, a projected top pick in 2018's draft, is the centerpiece of UT coach Shaka Smart's 2017 recruiting class. Questions arose in late June after his half-brother posted a video on Facebook alleging that Bamba took improper benefits from Greer Love, who's been a mentor to Bamba since he was a kid. NCAA spokeswoman Emily James, in her tweet yesterday, said that, quote, after evaluating all available information, the NCAA determined the assistance of Greer Love provides to Mohamed Bamba does not violate rules. He remains certified by the NCAA Eligibility Center. And that's the news.
And there you have it.
This is, hey, Buck, it's Wednesday, and the Yankees still suck. That's not nice at all.
I don't think that's nice at all. I'm investigating Sharon Stone right now. I don't have time for all that.
Yeah, Bucky's over there doing a deep dive on Sharon Stone.
No matter, you know that movie, that specialist? And then
terrible
those
movie.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Four stars on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hey, $170 million it made worldwide.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why would you expect that would be the case?
Because it's a good film. And she was naked.
A lot. That's how she does in every film.
Hey, she's a fellow Keystone State person. She's from Meadville, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Sharon Stone's erotic and smart and intelligent.
Yeah.
When she was 5 years old, she entered the second grade at 5 years old. Get you some of that.
She's smart.
Took me until I was 13 to get to
second
grade.
That's what I was thinking. You were definitely a teenager by the time you got there.
She probably was past second base by the second grade.
Oh, see, that's not right.
Oh, man.
That's not right. That's not right at all.
What started this, the pie conversation?
No, not the pie. Oh, it's not National Pie.
She was in Basic Instinct. She was also in Total Recall as Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife in the original Total Recall.
Speaking of pie, she did flash hers on Basic Instinct. Remember that?
I do remember that part, too. I do remember that.
Yeah, I got to watch some of these
movies. You never saw Basic Instinct?
I never heard of that.
You never saw Casino?
Or Hootie Ha?
You never saw Casino with her, Sharon Stone? And Robert De Niro? Does this guy, like, not watch anything? Just
sports.
That's it?
Sports.
I was watching some Summer League last night, baby.
Oh, man. How's your boy Dennis Smith with the Mavericks?
Ooh, Mavs undefeated, man. Dennis Smith.
Got the best Summer League team in the league.
They were up 4. Yeah, it's about all they'll have the best at this year. But they were up 4 with, 50 seconds to go. Dennis Smith, step back, dagger 3.
Nice.
For the win.
All right, we'll talk some Tom Herman and Texas football coming up. But speaking of Keystone State, Meadville, Pennsylvania. Sports Illustrated has ranked their top 40 freaks for college football in 2017, and the number one player is from Pennsylvania.
He's probably from Whitehall, Pennsylvania.
He is. Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State, number one freak. Up to 228 pounds, runs a 4.33 in the 40-yard dash, according to his strength coaches. He gashed Ohio State last year, their defense, for almost 200 yards. Remember what he did against USC last year? Saquon Barkley, name to watch for in college football this year. You like that guy a lot.
I like him a lot. I mean, he's talking about built low to the ground. He's got the speed. He's elusive, and he finishes his run. He is good. He's not a lollygagger whatsoever.
He's a good player. So that's Sports Illustrated's number one freak. The number two freak, according to SI, is this monster defensive tackle at Clemson, Dexter Lawrence, who NFL people are already saying you can lock him in as the first pick of the draft in 2019.
Wow.
Dexter Lawrence is a massive defensive lineman, but he's quick, like a guy much smaller than him. And here's a quote from the story they wrote on him. It says, mark it down now. The number one overall pick of the 2019 draft is going to be Dexter Lawrence. There's nothing like him in this draft in terms of size, quickness. He's ridiculous. That's from an NFL coach from talking about Dexter Lawrence from Clemson. He's 6'4.5", goes about 330, but can move.
Yeah, that's why Dabo Swinney continues his recruiting.
By the way, they have two. Clemson has two freaks on their defensive
line
in the top 10.
Yeah, this dude, Dexter Lawrence, is 340 pounds. He had 7.5 sacks last year as a true freshman.
He can run. He can absolutely run. But yeah, this top, we'll tweet this out as well, the top 40. It bears mentioning that Connor Williams of Texas, number 35 on the list.
Now, with the kid from Florida State who didn't play last year, I think the defensive back, big kid who was, I think had a knee injury last year.
No, that's their pass rusher that is on this list.
Okay. I thought they had a secondary guy that was so good.
That's what's going to be great about our our Horn Top 25, because we're going to be able to count these teams down and get to know these teams more intimately. That's why you should be listening from much as you can from July 31st all the way through to September 1st, because we're going to rank our top 25 teams, and then each day, every show on the station is going to count it down. Now, we'll talk other things, the big stories of the day, but at some point each hour, we'll drop into the top 25 and talk about that day's team, and that's when we really get to know these teams, and you get to hear from their play-by-play guys and from the people that cover that team, so all the questions you may have, so you feel like you know the best teams in college football when we hit the college football season. That'll be from July 31st all the way through September 1, which is the Friday before the first game.
Now, it was funny last night, Bryce Harper talking about the Cowboys with Joe Buck being right there in the nation's capital and the Redskins. I bet you Redskins fans were like, dude, shut up. He was asking about Dak Prescott. How's Dak doing?
Yeah, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah,
but,
interesting.
Let me read what they say in Sports Illustrated about Connor Williams. It says, perhaps the most unfathomable streak going in college football is this. The Longhorns haven't had an offensive lineman selected in the NFL draft since 2008, they write. The drought, though, figures to end next spring. Word is Williams, an honor student who earned an All-American honors last season as a sophomore, is high on NFL scouts' radars. He's a better player than any. Here's a quote from Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL scout who you always see on NFL Network. He said, Connor Williams is a better player than any of the offensive tackles in the 2017 draft class.
Pretty good. There weren't very many. You're right.
So good for Connor. He's got to go have a great season. But he's one of the freaks of college football, according to Sports Illustrated.
Oh, and he has to stay healthy for success of this team, for sure.
He's the key. He's the anchor on the left side. And I remember I asked Derek Wareheim, their offensive coordinator, when we had a breakout session, is he a leader? Can he be the guy that leads this offensive line back to where Texas fans want their offensive line to be? And he said, absolutely. He said he is an absolute leader of these guys. Maybe as a freshman and even as a sophomore, he wasn't. But he's coming into his own as someone who will set the tone. What do we always say in sports? If your hardest worker is your best player, you have a chance to be really good. Well, according to Derek Wareheim, Connor Williams is our hardest worker. I mean, he's the guy that, especially in that room, in that offensive line room, and that can only help guys like Pat Vahe, Jake McMillan, Zach Shackelford, those young guys, Denzel Okafor, Pat Hudson. You know, Pat Hudson's a guy the NFL looks at him and says, that guy's an NFL body. But you got to work to get it, and Connor Williams setting that tone, and that's, to me, that's what's exciting about Texas this year, is that can that offensive line, that stat is just staggering. I mean, it's almost a decade since they've had an offensive lineman drafted into the NFL. Is this the year that the offensive line in Texas gets back to being a physical team at the point of attack, led by their offensive line and led by Connor Williams?
Well, they're going to need him to play well for the entire season, and he's done that. He's one of those quiet leaders. He's been like that the first 2 years. He's
a
quiet guy.
Coach Wareheim said he's kind of coming out of that. That maybe
needs to.
That he's... And they're encouraging him to do that. You know what leaders do, Buck. If someone's not getting it done, it doesn't need to be the coaches.
Taps you on the shoulder.
Doesn't need to be the coaches. It needs to be the players. And that peer evaluation, that peer tough love, is really what to me changes a program. And they've got a guy in Connor to do that. The question is, they have a guy like that on defense. I mean, do they have a guy on defense who can
Do they?
Set the tone. Well, I think that's why you're seeing P.J. Locke going up to Dallas, and that's why I think you're seeing Nashawn Hughes. Remains to be seen if they have that type of leadership on the defensive side of the ball. But I wanted to mention that, I said we talked about Bob Stoops winning early at Oklahoma. We talked about Torrance Marshall. This is interesting to me. And Torrance Marshall came in from junior college because was one of the big concerns for Texas is their linebackers. There was a post at a website called The Football Brainiacs. They cover Texas football that says this guy Gary Johnson has come in and has just really, really, really turning heads. That Gary Johnson, who they brought in, the junior college linebacker, he is in the summer workouts. He is a guy that quietly the Texas coaches are looking at, thinking, you know, this guy is. Even the players are talking about him. So Gary Johnson is a guy to watch for. Tom Herman talked about it on signing day when they brought him in, that they needed someone who was physically ready. Now, he's only 200. He's up to 220 pounds. But he's as fast as some of their running backs and wide receivers. But he just brings an edge to it. Here's what they wrote. It says, "What guys, here's some team notes from footballbrainiacs.com that says, it's Texas Football Brainiacs. Spoke with another source regarding some summer workouts and the young guys. Newcomer of the year, we've already remarked on the rave reviews JUCO linebacker Gary Johnson has been receiving from our sources. But I spoke with an additional source who went so far to say that Gary Johnson will be the newcomer of the year. The source says that Johnson's athleticism is truly unique. In fact, I was told he runs so well he can push Devin Duvernay in some races. Also told he out-tests everyone on the team, tops in the conditioning chart, up to 220 pounds. I expect him to line up next to Malik and be the most athletic linebacker duo in the Big 12.
I don't care if they're athletic. I want to know if they're physical. They can be all the athletic they want. In his conference, they better be able to stop the run, and at the point of attack, they have to have some strength. Just please, Gary, just go ahead and stuff a guard when he pulls up inside of you and they come in for a double team. If you get a double team, fight, be able to fight it off, let somebody else be free. But you can't run around blocks, and that's what these linebackers have done for the last 3 or 4 years. They run around blocks.
Well, but you have film of Gary Johnson doing that at the junior college level, of sticking his head in there. And if I go back to why I mentioned the Bob Stoops thing, Torrance Marshall was the guy that came in from junior college and gave Bob Stoops defense the edge. He was a tough guy who'd been vetted through the junior colleges. You know, this is an interesting guy to watch for.
And so did that Williams cat that played linebacker.
For Oklahoma?
For Oklahoma years ago.
Well, look,
Roy Williams.
Well, he's a safety, yeah, but he played like a linebacker.
Yes.
I mean, they are – Todd Orlando, the defense coordinator, is begging for someone to come in and bring physicality to the defensive side, someone with a mean streak, someone who will – you know, Brecken Hager's got some of that to him. Malcolm Roach has some of that. And you hope is that this Gary Johnson comes in, and he's a tough sucker that can run, that will bring some of that to Malik Jefferson and Anthony Wheeler. And these guys, they need them to be more physical at the point of attack, but you also got to be able to run in the Big 12 Conference. You got to be able to be spread out and move. And if you got linebackers like Malik Jefferson and Gary Johnson who can run like that, you can keep them on the field, which helps you defend the run, and they can drop into pass coverage.
BK, for Brecken Hager, weight-wise, if that guy's put on about 15 or so, he's a real, real aggressive guy. If he's learned some of the nuances about pass rushing and stuff, he can be in that. He can get to be a little mini Tony Brackens, where he gets and strips quarterbacks from behind and does some stuff like that. But he's got some really nice spin moves out there. I know you got to rely on more than a spin move as a defensive pass rusher. But if he comes in with a little bit more strength, I think he can be a pretty dynamic player.
Yeah, he burst on the scene last year, and I hate to use all the stereotypical white athlete terms.
No, I don't think he's that guy.
Real high motor is what I meant. I mean, the dude just finds ways to get into the backfield and wreak havoc, and he's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy out there. But last year, he found ways, like you said, some spin moves, some rip moves.
Yeah.
He was pulling out all sorts of stops last year, and you only assume he's going to get better. You could tell he's got that drive by the fact that he's grown out his hair until the Horns win a Big 12 championship. This guy wants to win and is willing to do whatever it takes to win. If you have more players like that in your program, you're going to be pretty successful.
Yeah, and the thing it is, I know people would say, oh, no, he's the rah-rah guy. I think he's more than a rah-rah guy.
He can play.
I think he's a player E. If he got bigger and learn the nuances out there, I think he'd be a really, really special type of player for the Texas Longhorns for the next couple of years.
Well, I mean, the bloodlines are there. His father was a phenomenal player and played 10 years in the NFL. His brother went to Baylor and was the heart and soul of the Baylor defenses.
I think he's more talented than his brother would be.
Well, he's probably a little more athletic than his brother was.
Yeah.
He's longer.
He's bigger, longer though, isn't he? He is bigger.
Taller, yeah. No, okay. I mean, that's where... You're right. If you can combine those bloodlines with the energy that he brings, the word I see when I see Brecken Hager play is tenacity. You know, he brings He's tenacious to get to the football. And that's what you have to be. I mean, that's what the game is. You can't be a passive player in football.
No, you can't be.
And there have been too many guys on the Texas program the last several years that have been that way. They like to catch blockers. They like to run around blockers. They like to, you know.
They're not good at the point of attack.
Drop balls in big spots. Miss blocks
you're
in
right.
big
Everything
spots.
You're saying, that's right on the money.
Well, be tenacious. Go get the ball. Want to make the great catch. I mean, that's one of the things Tom Herman's trying to infuse in this program with his coaches. And it's guys like Brecken Hager, maybe this Gary Johnson guy from junior college, can bring some of that. But guys, this is a contact sport. I mean, you got to go hit people. Sorry.
It's the Big 12,
though.
It's
the Big 12.
The thing about it is, it's the Big 12.
It's the Big 12!
It's the only thing. It's the Big 12.
All right, coming back, we will hit up the SEC Media Days. Kevin Sumlin. Into the spotlight and maybe into the hot seat today at SEC Media Days. Three consecutive 8-5 seasons has him on the hot seat. Should he be, though, becomes a question. We'll kick that around. Also continue to talk some Texas football, the All-Star game from last night. Hit your salacious gossip and your blitz before the end of this hour. It's a busy Wednesday. 104.9, always on AM 1260. We always stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Salacious gossip in the Blitz before the top of the hour. Also, of course, your Blitz at 447-3776. Come strong on a Wednesday. Bucky's still over there making goo-goo eyes at Sharon Stone doing his deep dive on the talented actress.
Hey, he had a tough year. 1994 had some great movies out. Shawshank Redemption.
Look, you only stuck with that movie yesterday. They got 4% on Rotten Tomatoes because she was naked a lot. That's period.
It's not true.
You're not going to convince me
it ain't
otherwise.
True. It ain't true.
That ain't true!
That ain't true
the
at all.
The Specialist was on yesterday. You caught it halfway through.
No. I caught it from the beginning. This I caught from the very beginning.
Oh.
I didn't think I was. When I saw Stallone in it, I thought, this is going to be a bad Rocky deal. It wasn't. Stallone was good as a bombing specialist. He was awesome. And that guy, James
BK
Woods.
BK in there looking at some shower scene where Rocky's going Clubber Lang
it's a good movie.
On Sharon
what do you think,
Stone.
BK?
I'm bought in now. Although I think I've already seen the best part of the movie. So
stop
I think
it.
I'm
what
good.
Was it, 94 to BK? Some big movies in 94? Forrest Gump?
Yeah, Forrest Gump, Pulp Fiction, Shawshank, Dumb and Dumber.
Classic.
I don't know why I got to put
classic Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber is one of the five greatest comedies of all time. Are you kidding me?
Seriously? It can't be.
Sure it is.
Once again, that ain't true.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
That ain't true.
Are you kidding me?
It can't be one of the five best comedies
like
of all
time. Like, just slap, like all-way comedy. I mean, there are funny movies that aren't wouldn't be in that genre, but for me it is.
Pretty good.
That's a laugh-out-loud movie
you
the
know
whole
I,
way through.
And speaking
like
of
Hangover.
You know what I had to put as number one?
What?
Blazing Freaking Saddles.
All right.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Sly Stallone on Sharon Stone. Stallone and Stone.
Stallone and Stone.
Also, guys, The Lion King. 1994.
Ooh.
And True Lies.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
But that, look, you don't even understand this. Rotten Tomatoes is how people vote on the movie. Once they see it, they give their initial reaction to the film. This has nothing to do with all these other
great... But who
great
are they?
The people that have seen
big
it.
Big Magic Johnsons?
Big Magic
He's got
Johnson.
AIDS. What has he done?
All right, so we'll put that out there. Greatest comedies of all time. I got Dumb and Dumber in my... It's
you
it's
do
in my,
not.
Yes, I do.
You can't have that.
What do you mean?
That worries me now. You cannot have Dumb and Dumber as your top five.
With the great Jim Carrey? You want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
He was better as the Grinch.
Well, he's good in a lot of films, but he's really funny in that movie. Now, they shouldn't have made a Dumb and Dumber 2, but, you know, some people like that one.
BK is going to go Step Brothers now that I've seen it.
I haven't seen that, though. See, I can't even comment.
Funny as hell.
Yeah, Step Brothers is great.
That's good.
Anything Adam Sandler, right? Religious Passage.
Oh,
has to
see,
be
that's favorite.
Oh,
disagree.
No way.
Will Ferrell's pretty good.
Yes, there is nothing that Adam Sandler is going to be in the top five.
Whoa.
In there. No, I'm sorry.
You're just supporting the cause over there.
Happy Gilmore. Come on, the movie's great. Shooter McGavin.
I have never seen Happy
Bob
Gilmore
Barker.
All the way through.
Come on.
Sorry.
You don't have any leg to stand on here.
I have never seen Happy Gilmore. You're right.
Oh, Superbad is pretty funny.
You know I hadn't seen it all the way through? Because Sharon Stone's not in it in the shower.
Can't promise you that. I'm sorry.
By the way, I've got this from a certain website. Best comedies ever. Let's see. Spinal Tap number one. See, I'm not buying that. Airplane 2. I've got Airplane in my top five. No question about that.
No doubt.
Overrated.
Monty Python's Life of Brian, 1979.
No, I'm old, and that's still no good. Groundhog Day, no. Bill
the
Murray.
Jerk.
What about Caddyshack? That's got to be pretty.
Yeah, Caddyshack's
up there. Caddyshack would have to be there, yeah. They'd be in the top five.
See, now you're talking my language. Caddyshack, Animal House.
Blazing Saddles.
Airplane, Dumb and Dumber. See, this is where we are.
Would you quit it with Dumb and Dumber?
I would put, you know what, for me, I would put The Hangover in there, too. I think The
Hangover 1 is funny,
Hangover 1. Because we went and saw that movie when I had the good fortune. I didn't know anything about it. Because it was like brand new on the scene. I walked in, that movie just knocked me out.
Right off the bat, yes.
I left my stomach hurt. I laughed so hard in that movie. But yeah, so that would be up there for me. But we'll take yours.
Yeah, I got to believe you're right. Blazing and Saddles, yep.
Did you guys ever see Borat?
Borat's
no,
funny.
No, that stuff's not funny to me.
Come on, man.
No.
Everybody about Bruno?
No, Airplane, one of the airplanes, the original Airplane is good too.
Wow. How about this? We'll get you some details on these. We'll take your top. Those are mine. So that's kind of where everybody's got different tastes in comedy.
That's true. You're right.
There's Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber's on their list too.
What is it? Are we looking at Rotten Potatoes again?
Rotten Potatoes.
To find out.
Did you ever see Annie Hall?
Anything with Woody Harrelson in there, I don't like. What is his name?
It's not Woody Harrelson, I don't believe. I think it's
something Woody. What's the dude's name?
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen,
sure,
yeah.
Woody Allen.
Something
creepy
Wood.
Woody Allen.
Now, the 40-year-old virgin may jump in there, too, for me.
What about Meet the Parents with the Fockers?
With the Fockers, pretty good. Thank you. Another pretty good
one. That's a classic one. All right, so we'll take your
good stuff.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles would be high for me. That's a gooder.
That is another good.
You guys ever seen Office Space?
I have not.
I've always been told I need to watch
that. That's good. It's filmed here.
Nice.
Filmed right here in Austin, Texas. It says Dumb and Dumber is definitely top five comedy.
What is wrong with
so
you people?
So you're saying there's a chance.
No.
That movie's just loaded with great lines. It's
Dumb
so fun.
And Dumber. I can't believe it. Top five comedy?
Yeah, totally.
Billy Madison, stop. Yeah, Adam Sandler was like Billy Madison. He had some really bad stuff.
Really bad stuff. Those are classics, man.
See, I'm not a big Adam Sandler fan.
Oh, come on.
But
anything post-2007 or so.
Airplane's number one for me.
Airplane's
Caddy
your favorite?
Yeah. Oh, that movie is so hilarious.
I'm going to have to go with Blazing Saddles, Caddyshack, Airplane, because I'm old. That Step Brothers all of a sudden became one of the classics to me. It's just,
I haven't seen it. I guess I have to go watch
it. It's too stupid because it's so stupid.
My friend Will Ferrell, man.
It's funny because it's
only
so
in doses
stupid.
Will. It's well, Dumb and Dumber so stupid. I mean, the whole thing's stupid. That's why you're laughing. I put The Hangover in my top five, my personal comedy.
I'll throw in
top
The Hangover
five.
As number five. There you go.
I love
done.
That movie. That movie
good
is
stuff.
So funny. Plus, it got a pretty decent storyline to it. Okay, so we've got a little baseball from the All-Star game last night. We certainly have football conversation. How about this little quick story before we get to your salacious gossip and your blitz? I was reading this from 24/7 Sports. They put out a column of the most irreplaceable players in college football this year, guys that just simply can't get hurt or their team is going to be crushed. And look who's on the list. Shane Buechele,
would have
quarterback,
to be.
Texas.
Would have to be.
And I think that's absolutely the case. You know, I don't think they're going to have the opportunity to do it, but Texas would, I think, like to redshirt Sam Ellinger just to get this quarterback rotation into a good cycle.
Yeah, I agree 100%. By the way, Tom Herman's, you know what I mean, the bully at the bully pulpit, he can say what he wants about, you know, we want to have a quarterback competition, and that's nice, but the guy he can't afford to get hurt is Shane Buechele, period.
No, you're right about that. He can't. I mean, he's the most important player on this team.
He is. That's right. He's the number one player right now.
Especially early in the season. I mean, maybe by midseason, you know, Sam Ellinger will be ready to take it. I know there's a lot of Sam Ellinger fans who saw him at Westlake. Remember, he didn't play a lot as a senior. He suffered all the injuries. He needs reps. He needs to play. I don't think you'd like to see him rushed out there in an early situation. But Shane Buechele also on this list. Baker Mayfield is there. They point out his 40 touchdowns, just 8 picks. I agree with that because Baker, you lose Joe Mixon. You lose D.D. Westbrook. You lose that guy from
Purine. Lose him.
I mean, they still have good players and a good offensive line, but that's going to be, you know, Baker Mayfield's going to have to pick up a lot of that leadership and a lot of that. Those are good players.
Yeah, they won't have great receivers, but they'll find a way to have a couple good ones because D.D. Westbrook came out of nowhere too. So they'll find those guys. But you can't make up for those running backs. See, not those two guys.
No, I mean that.
No,
I mean they ran the ball 60% of the time last year.
Right.
And those two guys are gone. Now, they'll have good backs. Lincoln Riley's offense will be a little bit different, I think, without Bob Stoops there. But that's an important guy in Baker. Mason Rudolph's on this list as well. This is a national column. But Rudolph, as far as guys that are very, very important.
Hey, let me ask you this. You know, we're talking about Sam Ellinger as being a redshirt guy.
Sure.
But with Coach Herman, do you feel like with the guys that he's recruited, the two guys that are coming here anyway – they may end up still playing Sam Ellinger in games and saying, you know what, if this team gets out to certain teams that they play against, if they become the team that the Iowa States or the Kansases of the world, that's right, that you start getting...
Hold on.
What are you talking about?
Talking about blowout wins now?
Go ahead and take a game-winning field goal against Kansas.
I'm just saying, if this team looks like they're that kind of football team and they've cleaned up a bunch of the bull crap that should be cleaned up, and you get into games where you're up 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, are we going to see this kid come in and actually play in games maybe and not redshirt?
Well, I mean, I think that's a decision to be determined. I mean, I think that's one when you get to camp and see what kind of summer he's had. I mean, there's going to have to be a conversation in the quarterback room and in the offensive staff room of, okay, yeah, if he's going to be our backup, we got to get him. He's got to play.
But for this year, there's none of those other guys coming.
Well, I mean, I don't think Jerod Hurd's moving back to quarterback anytime soon. But, I mean, I think all those conversations have to be had.
Yeah, you can't go into a season with just two guys.
And by the way,
you?
It's interesting to me that Matthew Merrick, the story's come out today, that Matthew Merrick, who we were told was quitting football because of academics and he wanted to focus on his school, he's now transferred. He's going to play football at Virginia, where his dad had played football. The kid said that's not true. He still wants to play football.
Well, he's going to go be a backup.
Well, yeah, but he's still going to play. Texas could use a backup.
What the hell did he leave here for, then?
I don't know.
Didn't want to work. You got to assume. Anybody leaves and transfers when they're not getting that much playing time, they don't want to work as hard as Tom Herman wants them to work. That is my guess.
Really? They asked some more of him.
And by the way, we will learn. That's a good point you bring up, Buck. September 9th, San Jose State. You would like to think that's going to be one of those blowout victories. Do you protect Shane Buechele in the fourth quarter of that
yes.
game?
Yes. If Sam's going to be your backup, he's got to play.
Yeah, I mean this can't be a real red shirt year for him. He has to play football.
Yeah, well, and then that's what I'm saying. All those are to be determined. What do they have when they get to camp? They make those calls. But, yeah, I would think it's most likely that early in the season you're going to have to get him on the field because San Jose is a good example. Maybe Maryland. If Maryland, the Terrapins come down here, we're not sure what they're going to have this year. It's going to be hotter than
blazes.
And
you're winning a game, and you're winning.
Yeah.
Well, and there's time to get him in a couple series. He needs to be in games.
Well, what if Shane Buechele goes out in the middle of the USC game and you've got to put a guy on the field?
Right. We saw that with USC versus Alabama last year when they had to put guys on the field at quarterback. Remember that madness?
All right. Here's some others that are mentioned for top comedies. Uncle Buck, Coming to America. I put Coming to America in my personal high ranking. I love it.
Would you?
Yes, I would.
But you wouldn't put him in your top five.
It's a pretty damn funny movie. This one says, why wouldn't any of these be in the top five? All better than Dumb and Dumber, Christmas Vacation. Ooh, yeah, Christmas Vacation and Vacation, for crying out loud.
Christmas Vacation is a good one.
Pain, The Princess Bride, and History of the World. Okay.
A lot of Monty
Princess
Python.
Princess Bride? Hold on.
Did somebody say Princess Bride?
We're going to take this text seriously. They got Princess Bride in their
top
five.
No, that's not a good text.
Naked Gun.
I didn't like that slapstick, I don't think, as much as I did Airplane.
I like Naked Gun, but that one. But
as we say, some comedies are different for everybody.
You know who's great in that film?
Oh, Jay Simpson was in there.
Maybe that takes over the top.
Was OJ in Airplane at any of the airplanes?
No. Kareem was.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the other black guy. Okay.
The black guy. Yeah, OJ Simpson was in Naked Gun. That's pretty good, though. I mean, Naked Gun, Enrico Palazzo, remember when he goes to the baseball game? He's singing the national anthem. Come on, that's pretty good. That's a funny movie. I'm with you on that.
Chavez, dude, don't got no brains in here.
That's right.
Remember that from Airplane?
I do remember that from Airplane.
Classic.
A Blazing Saddle still today. You can turn that on and just say, how did they get away with that madness back then?
We'll hit it and get your thoughts. The Blitz should be lively. We'll hit that coming up as well. A little salacious gossip as we roll on. Harlem Nights has been mentioned.
A pretty good movie.
How about Young Frankenstein? I haven't seen that. Sorry. This guy on the text line has mentioned MacGruber and Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein's pretty good.
See, everybody's got
it's another Mel Brooks comedy.
Hey, can I ask you a question about your crush on Sharon Stone this morning?
Yeah, let me go back to my computer up.
Has she ever made a film where she wasn't in The Tramp?
You know, that's not right either. That ain't true!
Name one.
Okay, she was like, she was, well.
Has she ever made like a real serious role where she wasn't like?
In the movie Bobby. On Bobby Kennedy. She was a hairdresser in the movie Bobby.
All right, there you
go. You got to see that. That's the only one I
Blitz
can recall.
Blitz is coming. Salacious gossip. And more college football talk, more baseball talk. It's B&E on the Horn. 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Yeah, that's right. No games whatsoever. It's just salacious gossip. Brought to you by Bud Light. Raise one and get after it this weekend, which is fast approaching now, and it's the summertime. So you're taking your time off, your downtime, your vacations. Take Bud Light with you if you're out the coast, down at the lake, getting the water floating down a river.
Fish camp.
Always be safe and smart. Make good decisions, like I did at the Mullet Open last Friday.
You had some water behind all that. You had a water back, didn't you?
I had a ton of water, but, you know, you can have Bud Light, too.
Of course.
Mix it in there. Swing lubricant. Okay, so we've got some salacious gossip, and I hate to put this here because I know there's a lot of fight fans out there, but I'm going to put the McGregor-Mayweather fight in our salacious gossip.
Because it is.
It's a scam, right? We know
good.
This. Now
scam.
They had a big press conference yesterday where the Ford City Tour to pipe this thing up, and let's just hear. Can we get a little Conor McGregor from the UFC side of things? Here's what he had to say about Floyd Mayweather yesterday.
He's in a tracksuit. He can't even afford a suit anymore. The roads is at 2012 outside. He is there's no other way about it. His little legs, his little core, his little head. I'm going to knock him out inside 4 rounds. Mark my words.
4 rounds.
Damn.
4 rounds.
That ain't happening.
Mayweather then pulled out a check for $100 million. Here's what Floyd Moneyman had to say.
Let me show you what a $100 million fighter look like. Still got $100 million, and then he never touched this. That's in a tax man. You're right. I'm the IRS, and I'm going to tax your I'm not going to do
Oh, amazing.
This is going to be the best.
Ridiculous. Don't fall for it.
Four city tour that you've ever seen.
You know who got in a fight there off scene was Floyd's crazy father. The crazy
is
dad.
Is he still in the corner somewhere? Yeah, I thought it was his uncle was his corner man.
There's no one more crazy
now.
Than that dude. That dude is out there.
He didn't fight Alonzo Ball or whatever is the dad's name, LeVar.
Stay in your lane.
Get after each other.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
good. Can you imagine? That'd be a better pay-per-view fight than this one's going to be.
All
right, so that's coming up in August. Did you guys see A-Rod last night doing his thing? He's still dating J-Lo. J-Lo was there last night. The All-Star game.
Is anybody thinking, A-Rod does a pretty decent job out of the baseball, off the baseball field.
He has some pretty good insights.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, more than the Big Hurt did last night. Frank Thomas. By the way, did you see when from Big Hurt, Frank Thomas got up next to Aaron Judge? Dang, he's big. Because Frank Thomas
is big.
Remember, Frank Thomas played college football. I mean, he was a tight end.
Judge was bigger than him?
Big,
oh,
by a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, from Judge is a monster. 6'7", 280. Looking down on Frank Thomas.
We didn't have any Pete Rose sightings there last night. Please tell me. I didn't
see Pete Rose.
Oh, it's good. That's good for baseball last night. I mean, he wasn't announcing anything or saying anything. They kept him. Fox kept him away.
That too.
No, he did.
Hey, let's get to your blitz. The phone lines are juiced. Let's go.
Yes.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, first Blitzer, you're up.
Soon as I get home, first thing I'm going to do is punch your mama in the mouth. This is good for Team Justice.
That's wow. Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey and the Bandit. That's right. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky, August 26th is on a Saturday this year. The last time it was on Wednesday was in 2015. Update your BlackBerry, man.
Stop. Leave me alone. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hang overrated.
I don't buy it. I liked it a lot.
For me, I loved it.
I like number one. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Bucky, it seems like you've kind of thrown the talent on Mr. Nick Saban. He's kind of like your old wife, and your new mistress is Urban Meyer. What's up with all that?
I did throw away. I did.
What does it mean? Tell me what
it means. I've been cheating on Nick Saban with Urban Meyer. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky and E.
What's up?
What about Stir Crazy and the ghost of Mr. Chicken?
Stir Crazy was like Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
That's right, Stir Crazy. Weren't they also in Silver Train or something like that? Silver Spoon or Silver Streak? Next Blitzer.
Silver Streak. I don't think it was Silver Chain.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky Bato. Hey, I got my Corona with my horns up and my limes in. I knew when we got a hold of the lawyers from Russia that we could get a hold of the NCAA and tell them and petition free Mo Bamba.
We freed Mo Bamba. It was the Russians.
The Russian
Poontang
lawyer.
Did it.
The Russian lawyer. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Mo Bamba is not in trouble. President Trump might be in a little trouble. Shaka Smart is one happy man this morning.
Yes, he
is. Let's make America great again.
Shaka Smart
very
is much. Very happy. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Pudgy Summy, when that reporter asks you the question when your job's on the line, the Mullets can't wait to see those buggy eyes bug out.
These people are so mean,
man. How many times will he
man?
Be asked that today?
Just mean. Oh,
how many times will Kevin Sullivan be
about
asked about
six,
his job security today?
Six in a row. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Michael Phelps swimming with the Sharks. He's out there.
Michael Phelps swimming with the Sharks. We've got to check that out. Next Blitzer, you're up.
I'll tell you why Pete Rose wasn't there last night. He was in Vegas making bad bets with Jimmy from Viking Fence and Fat Brett.
I love these insiders. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Pete Rose and Jimmy.
You're up. All right, next Blitzer, talk to us.
Hey, that naked guy on a shark pick is fake news. That's Brett Bielema's body with Jim McElwain's face photoshopped on it.
Oh, the shark, right. The yeah. Big fat dude laying yes. On the shark. That looks like Bielema, and then you get to
be.
McElwain's face.
Or Chris Crispy. Next Blitzer, you're up.
They've had it 6 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half pack cigarettes, stock gun, and we're wearing sunglasses.
That would be Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers.
Shut it down! Oh, let's go home!
How about this?
Oh, my goodness.
We got these on the Twitter line. Funniest comedies ever. Airplane, Ruthless People. A Fish Called Wanda. I think Ruthless People is a really, 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 really funny movie. Remember that Danny DeVito and Bette Midler? And
would you call Trading Places a comedy?
Ooh, yeah.
Trading Places.
That's the thing. There's so many.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned, because I think Major League's one of the funniest movies of all time. But
I'll take Trading Places and throw out Airplane. Sorry. I'll throw out Airplane.
Fletch?
Trading Places.
The original Fletch?
Yes. Good.
Come on, man.
I'm going to have to throw that out.
Erwin P. Fletcher? F. Fletch.
Is a good one. Trading Places. That has to be in my top five now.
Old School.
One is out.
Ooh, Old School with my friend Luke Wilson.
Oh, that's right. Your buddy's in that one. True.
He's good now.
He's good.
He's the godfather, man. Hey, we'll be back. B&E on the horn. We'll roll through the 9 o'clock hour. The ESPYs are tonight. We'll have some fun with the awards. Who's going to win what tonight? What's Peyton Manning's plan to host this thing this evening? It's B&E.